There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, welcome to On The Mic. Do you think your hair is sort of looking like a solar cell for a sex machine? You know, that little clear bit at the top? Or maybe people are saying you're growing too tall for your haircut. Yeah, you know, hair's a funny thing. A lot of people get a bit afraid of talking about it when they might have done something to their hair because everyone thinks, ah, he's got a wig. Or, you know, you've seen it before. Someone walking down the street and it looks like they're wearing a mop. Well, times have changed, technology has changed, and what they are doing now with hair restoration is absolutely incredible. And that is why so many celebrities, Kevin Costner, Matthew McConaughey, Robert Downey Jr., they may or may not have done it. I can't really tell, but someone who can is one of the greatest hair restoration experts in the known universe. It's Dr. Vikram. G'day, mate.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Dr. Vikram. And it just so happens that he may have also done a few tricks to my hair. Yeah. You can actually cut hair from the back of your head and stick it in the front, strand by strand. Here's the guy that stuck it in me. I mean...
Yeah, we'll edit that bit out.
Okay, maybe that yeah. The line doesn't work. But anyway, so we're going to do the big reveal. Should we
absolutely
do it now?
Absolutely, yeah, let's go.
And I'm trying out my new gear here as well. This is the new Rode Podcaster. It's absolutely amazing. I got it from Josh and my friends at BSG in Brisbane. If you need any sound and vision gear, these guys are the experts. Sales, hire, repair. They've got an amazing showroom in Brisbane worth checking out. You can buy online, of course, as well. BSG. And look at this thing. And it's got sound effects as well. So actually, I was going to play this intro music. Yeah, welcome to On The Mic with Dr. Vikram. Yeah. And we've got also a little bit of applause. Yeah. A monkey can use this. It's so easy if you want to make your own podcast. Hey, it's a joke. And now I'm going to do the big reveal with reveal music. You ready?
Yep. Ta-da.
Look at my beautiful fresh head of hair. Mate, you did such a good job.
Thank you very much. No.
With headphones on. So... The way we came across each other years ago, I met Dr. Knudsen,
who
gave me a little bit of a hair zhuzh.
Yeah.
And years later, I was interviewing Mike Gunner, who's the Married at First Sight guy, who has the shaved head, but he was bald, but he got the hair tattoo.
Yeah, I saw the episode, yeah.
A lot of people are doing that. Yeah. Anyway, he had so many people contact him about having the hair tattoo that he decided to become a hair tattoo expert himself.
No way.
So now he's doing it nonstop.
Right.
And so I noticed that you'd seen that, and we got talking. He said, why don't you come down to Melbourne? And I realized, because so many people messaged about that show, because I talked about how the fact I had a little bit of hair put in.
Yes.
And I thought, well, people need to know, because there's such a realm of secrecy around it. I mean, girls get their boobs done. They get these huge chunks of plastic or silicon stick in the front, or they're getting their bums done, and people are getting abs put in, you're getting Botox. So what is the big issue with getting a couple of tiny little bits of hair out of the back and put in the front, and it actually grows? That's the thing I can't believe when I tell people. They go, oh, it's pretty short. And I go, I only had this done like a few days ago, and it's already, it grows.
Yes. Well, I mean, the idea is that when it grows, okay, and everyone sort of wants instant gratification. Mm. And the problem with hair transplant, it doesn't give you that.
Yeah.
You know, you have a hair transplant today, you're not rocking with a full head of hair by the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It does take 10 to 12 months to grow.
Mm. Although the next day in Melbourne, I got on the plane, I didn't have a hat on and no one noticed. And I can notice people's eyes, because, you know, people's eyes, they go, oh. You know, they're looking at something weird, but not they didn't notice anything. But it's and I've got a head shaped like a big peanut. You know, like the Andre Agassi's head, how it sort of goes down in the middle. Well, mine's worse. It's like a valley.
Right.
So just to not scare little kids, I think it's better that I have hair on my head anyway. And everyone likes to feel good about themselves.
Sure, absolutely.
Like to feel good about the way you look. Well, you like to have to not pay for a new headshot and still look like the same one from a few years ago as an actor and as a presenter and all that kind of stuff. So,
well, the hair frames the face.
Mm.
So, and it's really amazing what, you know, different hairstyles and having hair, how that affects, you know, the framing of the face.
Mm.
And in essence, therefore, people's, self-image, self-confidence, and everything runs from that.
Yes, yeah. And you know, a lot of celebrities out there have had it done. Should we go through some of the celebrities?
Sure.
So is there any off the top of your head that you know, you go, hey, that guy's had it done?
Well, look, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
don't know for a fact, but you know, it's pretty obvious John Travolta's done something.
Well, interesting. I saw you were showing me your laptop with all the images there.
Yeah.
And I could say the one, and I was thinking, yeah, maybe this one's had it done, this one's had it done.
Like Adam Levine from Maroon 5.
Yes.
Like, I don't think he's had it done. He's just shaved his head.
I think he shaved his head. Yeah. I think Matthew McConaughey, if you look at it there, I mean, he's got, you know, quite deep recession in that shot in the corners, and he's got a very flat hairline. I mean, if
he's definitely done it.
So, potentially, yes.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, John Travolta.
What's going on with John Travolta's hair?
The interesting thing with that is that I think for the longest time he's been wearing hair pieces.
Oh, okay.
Because he's, I think he's recently come out and just accepted that he's, I mean, I've seen pictures of him, you know, over the last few years where he's been in various states of balding, and I think now he's just shaved his head. I think he's
he was on Jimmy Kimmel the other night and he had a shaved head.
Yes,
but yeah, so over the years it was a hairpiece. It was a damn good hairpiece though. You see him on the red carpet at movie premieres, it's like, wow, he's got a nice full head of hair. Sean Connery as well. I mean, Hunt for the Red October,
yes,
I mean, that was not his hair. No,
Medicine Man, he had a big ponytail.
Hang on a minute. But like other ones like Ari Gold.
Yeah.
He definitely had his done. Yes. Billy Bob Thornton.
If you look at the before and
that's
after.
That's not hair restoration. That's a wig for sure, don't you reckon?
Look, I mean, here's the thing. Mm. Wigs these days look phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you can, it looks really natural. Unlike sort of wigs of old or hair pieces of old where you can go, oh yeah, I can, you know, that looks like a dead animal pasted to your scalp.
It looks like a loaf of bread from a Vietnamese bread shop. It's like, some of it looks so bad. Yes. So ridiculous.
I think the old, but the ones that are being made today, certainly good ones, good quality ones, very difficult if they're done properly. Very difficult to see, you know, what's real and what's
My dad's got one, and he said when he's not around anymore, he's going to give it to me as a family heirloom.
There you go. Things can pass down from generation.
Family heirloom. Anyway, just wait for the joke. So years ago, back in the 80s, he had a transplant.
Yes.
And the rest of his hair fell out, but it was like these really bad concentrated dots of hair, and it looked like doll's hair. Like, what were they doing drilling in people's heads back then?
Yeah, so look, I mean, that's essentially how hair transplant, how the technology has moved on. I mean, previously, back, you know, 20-30 years ago, they were using these plugs and they were just cutting out little sections of 4 to 5 millimeter sections, and then like tufts of grass, just planting them in rows, which, you know, gave you density, but if the rest of the existing hair fell out, then yes, it did give you that doll's hair kind of look. So that's what's happened there. And what we've done is we've moved on from that. And not to get too technical, but now instead of moving out clumps of hair, we're moving around groupings of hairs. What I mean by that is that if you look under the hair under the microscope, hair doesn't always come out one at a time. It comes out in groupings. It comes out one at a time, sometimes two at a time, sometimes three at a time, in rare cases four at a time. And if you take those natural groupings and move those natural groupings, then it looks natural. So the idea is that when you move those natural groupings, or what we call grafts, I mean follicular units and become grafts, you shouldn't be able to tell that you've had anything done.
Yeah, like when I tell people, they're like, oh, really? They have no idea.
Yes.
And people are fascinated by it because they just don't understand that that's how it's actually done, because in the past it's looked so bad.
Yes.
I mean, Dad now has, I won't say the name of the company that he'd signed up with for like 15 years. Yeah. He was paying up to $20,000 a year for these hair pieces that are sewn into the side of his hair. Absolute ripoff. I got online and I think I found someone on Alibaba that were better quality, and he got his hairdresser from that company to start her own business.
Right.
And she's selling them for like a third of the price. But the thing is, for like half of that money, you can just get some hair restoration done where it takes a little bit from the back and moves it to the front. So you've got clinics in Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne and New Zealand.
Yes. And in Canberra.
Oh, right. Okay, cool. What amazed me when I went in there, like, you go in to the clinic and you shave a little bit of hair out of the back, yeah, and then you cut a line of hair.
Yes.
And all of the nurses sit there at these microscopes.
Yes.
And they cut out of the strip of your hair.
Yes.
Each little hair individually.
That's right.
Which is just mind blowing. And then they give it to you. And what is it? How do you do that? Like, put it in and like a hair artist and make it look real. And
that's the thing, and that's what I love about hair transplant, because it's a mixture of artistry and science. So you've got to, there are two techniques, and the technique that you're referring to is strip surgery, and that's great. And you're cutting that strip of skin with the hair on it into the individual groupings or the individual grafts. And then what we're doing is making what we call recipient sites, small holes in the scalp. Now, that's really important, because you want to make sure that you're making the holes A, in the right place, all right, to give you full density. Mm. And also, you've got to create that hole at the right angle. It's got to match the existing hair. Because if you've got a hair coming out like that and you transplant the hair next to it like that, it's going to look stupid. So you've got to make sure that everything blends in within the direction. So it looks, so when this grows, no one should be able to tell that you've had surgery.
Mm.
So yes, my staff are sitting there under, with 50-pound magnification microscopes, and they're sort of carefully dissecting everything to make sure the tissue is trimmed and that the grafts and the follicles are maintained healthy. And then we use a variety of different devices, implantation devices, to implant the grafts into those.
What are those tools that you use?
Yeah, so we use a combination of forceps and also something called an implanted device, which it holds the graft, and then you plant them in one at a time.
And so you just go, like Picasso of hair. Like, what will I do? I'm going to put a little bit here, yes, a little bit there.
Pretty much, yeah. It's about looking at the hair, at the scalp as a whole, and going, right, well, where do I need to put more density to give you the illusion that you've got more hair? How do we rebuild that frontal hairline to look fuller, to look natural? Okay, because there's no point in just creating a straight line, and because everyone can spot it.
A lot of women are doing it as well.
Yeah, a lot of women are doing it. Yeah, so, look, if you go back, yes, it's mainly been men, and certainly... If I look at my practice, about sort of 80% are still men, but 20% are women. And the thing is that the women that we operate on, okay, they are, I think hair loss affects women far differently than it does men. I mean, men can, theoretically, barring your peanut head, of course, can rock they can shave their head, and that will be fine.
Yeah. But
for women, it's so much more. There's a huge psychological effect on them. So women also suffer from female pattern hair loss. And if you can, if it's significant enough, we operate on women and try and thicken up the area to give the illusion of increased density of hair.
Operate on a woman just as easy as you can a
Absolutely.
Man. It's no difference.
Yeah. No, it's no difference. It's skin, it's tissue, it's the same thing.
And do you only get hair from the back? Is there any other way of getting hair? Because I've heard rumors over the years of other people donating their hair, people taking their chest hair, their butt hair, their pubes, and putting on their head. Is that any of that true? Is that a myth?
Look, you can't have hair from anyone else. All right.
So you can't.
Thing. No, you can't.
I remember seeing a movie once as a comedy. I can't remember what it was, and the guy was donating hair to another guy.
The only exception to that rule, and I've never tested the theory, is if you've got an identical twin sibling, then because of the genetic similarity, you can theoretically donate your grafts to a balding sibling.
So you'd want your twin to go, I don't care about my hair, but he does. So he can have mine out
that's
of the
right.
back.
So that's the only thing. Otherwise, you cannot donate grafts or hairs from one person to another. To your next point, yes, you can take hair from anywhere and transplant it into your scalp, for example. So we do what we call body hair transplantation, which means that we can either take hair from the beard. And transplant into the scalp,
right,
or vice versa. So people who don't
have very coarse hair, though, coming from your base to your head.
Yeah, so you got to be careful with that. I mean, you can use chest hair. Or, I've used back hair as well, and
back hair. Yeah. My brother's watching this. There you go, mate.
So you can take hairs from different parts. The thing I am always cautious and what I tell people is that you got to be careful where you put it. And certainly scalp hair is better on scalp. Mm. Okay. But if you're using other hair, say beard hair, yes, because it's coarse, it has a different sort of growth cycle. Mm. You know, we shave every day, for example, so the hair does actually grow fast on the beard. You don't want it in very obvious areas. So you wouldn't rebuild the frontal hairline, for example, with beard hair. But if you've got a little bit of thinning in the crown, yeah, you can put a little bit of beard or body hair.
What about if people couldn't grow a beard or they don't have a hairy chest? Can you take hair from somewhere else? And because yes.
We do that commonly as well.
Have a gap?
Yes. So people who, you know, want to...
Can't grow a mo?
Exactly. So a lot of examples there. People who can't grow a beard or a mustache who really want facial hair, we can transplant scalp hair into beard. People who are transgender, who are transitioning from female to male, who want facial hair, we can do the same there. So you can use scalp hair on the face as well.
That's amazing. So you wouldn't want to go as far as to take it out strand by strand, would you?
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
Yes. So you punch out the grafts one at a time from underneath the neck.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Right. So rather than putting it in, do you use the same tool to take it out?
No, we use
it's different one.
A different one. It's called follicular unit extraction, or FUE. Mm. It's for want of a better description, it's like a really mini apple core, which is on a motorized device. So right. If it's you're sort of coring around it, and then you extract them one at a time.
That must be so small.
Yeah, it's tiny. It's a 0.7 or 0.8 millimeter diameter punch.
So, and it's a little machine.
It almost looks like a pen device, which is attached to a foot pedal, which causes it to oscillate and rotate. Mm. You go over each graft and you gently or very carefully dissect around it, and then you extract them one at a time.
Do you use like magnifying glasses? No, on
absolutely. So I got for that you use 8 times magnification. So you really want to make sure, because especially in that scenario, you want to make sure that when you're doing it, you're not damaging the grass. Because if you damage it, there's no point in doing it. It's not going to grow.
Yeah, because when you wax, they're just waxing their face. It's just pulling the hairs out. It's not pulling out the actual roots.
No, absolutely.
And it'll just grow back.
So you pull the hair out with waxing or any anything like that. You're pulling the hair out, but the stem cells ostensibly are still there. Mm. So on the next hair cycle, which, you know, usually after that, after the first one finishes, about 3 months later, that new hair will come through.
What about the stem cell therapy? I've seen a few things about stem cell therapy on hair around the place. People growing their own hair in a petri dish and then sticking it in. Is that a thing that's happening?
That's the holy grail. All right, we haven't got there. And ideally, you know, if we can get to a point where we can take some hair of yours and put it in a petri dish and grow 1,000 grafts, 1,000 hairs from there, and then plant them, then we haven't got a problem. Then that's where we've been aiming for. And certainly that's been on the horizon for the last sort of 15, 20 years. And it's a slow progress. I think we'll eventually get there, but we're not there yet. Mm. I think we're at the point where we can, you know, we can grow these cultures of hair, but we're trying to get the matrix to hold it together in place. So it's on the horizon. It's not there, but I say it's been on the horizon for the last, you know, 10 years, 10, 15 years. So, you know, watch this space.
Coming soon. One other thing that you are doing, which I was surprised when I went in there, you told me about, is the plasma from your blood, injecting it around your scalp.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, no, that's really good stuff. That's called platelet-rich plasma. Mm. Okay, and so...
Or the Kim Kardashian vampire facelift.
That's right, yes.
Okay, we're being open. I did try that when I was in LA.
So PRP is essentially take blood from yourself, okay? And you can't use anyone else's. You have to use your own. And then you spin it down with a centrifuge. And what you're collecting is what is known as the platelet-rich component, platelet-rich plasma, which contains the platelets and it contains growth factors. Mm. And what you can do with that, I mean, there's a myriad of things where it's indicated. So people are using it for people got osteoarthritis in joints.
Yeah, because I give blood regularly, and every now and again they say, would you like to donate plasma?
That's different.
Oh, is it different?
Yeah,
isn't it?
That's different because that's whole plasma, which is which is used for not necessarily for cosmetic purposes, but you know, for if people are unwell from that perspective. For PRP, you're looking at taking only about 20 to 30 mils of blood from you, and you spin it down, and you should sort of collect about 6 to 8 mils of PRP.
Mm.
And you can inject that back into joints, into the face. It's very good for skin rejuvenation. And now we know it, you can inject it back into the scalp.
Hmm. It promotes hair growth.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, this is the problem. People sort of sell it as stem cell therapy. It's not stem cell therapy.
Hmm.
You should be very clear about that. It does not make new hair. I mean, I can inject all the PRP I want on all the live long day into the back of my hand. I'm not going to grow hair on the back of my hand.
Yeah.
What it does is it actually stimulates existing hair to grow, okay, and to grow healthier. So what it will do is try and thicken up the shaft diameter of each individual hair. So it gives you that feeling that, oh yes, I'm thickening in that area. But if you looked under the microscope, you know, not really good. You're not, if you had 10 hairs in a field of, you're not suddenly going to get 20.
Wow, that's incredible. So are there any other strange new technologies that they're looking at?
I think the thing at the forefront is the stem cells. Mm. That's where it's moving to.
Mm-hmm.
That we can ideally, you know, if you're going bald, take a few, 10, 20 hairs from you
and then
regrow that into a larger population. Then you can transplant it into.
What about the pills? People are taking all sorts of pills to help their hair grow.
That's right.
I was taking them years ago and it didn't have any sex drive anymore.
Really?
Hmm.
So that's an important discussion, and it's a discussion I have with all my patients about it, because the pills, again, it's about what your expectation actually is.
Mm.
So pills, there is no pill that I know of that makes you grow new hair.
Mm.
All right, so
to save the hair you've got.
It's to save the hair.
There's Rogaine.
So Rogaine.
And there's a few other things like that.
So Rogaine is a topical solution. It's minoxidil, and you can apply that. And again, what that does is it stimulates the hair to grow in a similar sort of way to the PRP. And then you've got things like finasteride and dutasteride.
I think I was taking the finasteride stuff. This is like 13 years ago or something like that.
I mean, interesting enough, finasteride is still, despite that, is still probably the gold standard.
Really?
In trying to prevent hair.
It says on the box, you might not get a stiffy anymore.
Well, I mean, look, yes. But
it doesn't say it in that exact text.
No, yes, that's not the medical speak. But I think a lot of people that it happens to generally take too much. You actually need a very small dose.
Mm.
To actually,
some people are just like, give it to me. I need more hair. I'm going to keep taking it.
I need it every day. I need.
I need hair so I can get the ladies. But now I can't do anything with the ladies because it's not working.
Yeah. So you actually need a very small amount of the medicine in the system to result in enough blockade of the hormonal pathway that causes the hair loss.
Mm.
So to try and prevent that from getting any worse, and be clear, the goal of the medication is to stop it from getting any worse.
Mm.
If you want more hair, the only way I know of adding more hair to a scalp is surgically, to do a hair transplant.
Move it around.
Yes.
And have you ever had any weird requests, like someone wants more pubes?
I haven't had that.
Have you heard of anyone doing that?
No, I had one person. I think the weirdest one I had was wanted a unibrow.
What? No, they didn't. You're making that up.
No, seriously.
Really?
Yeah. And it was the first time I had that request. It's been the only time I had that request.
Who would want a monobrow?
Yeah, someone wanted a monobrow.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, someone wanted it. And so we had to...
Was it a model and it's a special look that she was going for
No,
or?
No, but we created it very happy. So, I mean, you can move...
Man or woman?
Man.
He wanted a monobrow.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, you know, going to catch on and there could be a new part of your business making more monobrows.
That's
for
it.
People.
So I should advertise, yes, we do monobrows.
Okay, while we're going to strange territory, let's talk about really bad hair transplants.
Yeah.
Because you see them all the time and you hear the shocking stories. I mean, if someone's looking into doing hair restoration by a doctor,
yes,
someone who knows what they're doing like you, they'll go, okay, I'm just going to shop around and see if I can have a holiday in Thailand or Turkey and see if I can get it cheaper.
Yeah.
And some of the pictures that you see come off of people going to those countries and, you know, going into dodgy surgeries. One of them I was looking at online, a lady was talking about how she went over there and they were doing four or five people at the same time.
Yes.
And the doctor was just overseeing. He wasn't even doing the right. hair surgery. And hers was a mess. It was just like straight line. And she looked like a robot.
Yeah, you got me on a point that I'm very passionate about. I think both Dr. Knudsen and I are actually quite passionate about it, because a lot of what we see is we do see a lot of people who have gone overseas to have procedures done. And I get why, because it's just, you know, from a financial perspective, it's very cheap to go over there. And the marketing is insane. You know, I spoke to a guy who came back from having it done and said it was just, they kept, you know, texting me and calling me and emailing me, and they offer, it's a flat fee for unlimited amount of grafts.
Really?
Yeah.
So people come back looking like a Wookiee if they want.
Well, that's the problem. Well,
went to Tyler.
Well, that's the problem, because you know, they with this particular one, they took too much from the back, so the back looks all empty and bare and moth-eaten. So
what do you mean they took too much? So they took too many strips.
Well, in that scenario, they did the FUE, so they took one by one, but they just took too much, and the back now, because that hair doesn't grow at the back, okay, that now looks barren and moth-eaten, and for whatever reason, it didn't grow very well on top. So he's now left in that horrible scenario where it's very poor coverage at the top and really poor coverage at the back.
No, Mike Gunner on the Gold Coast can help fix the scars.
There you go.
By going over it with the tattoos. What's some of the worst ones that you've seen? Because you fixed those. Horrible examples. Yeah.
So, I mean, we see a lot of different things. And again, over-harvesting, that's a real tragedy. Now, I do want to say, right, that, you know, there are some really, really good surgeons overseas in all these countries, in Turkey, etc. But the problem is that most people that go there are not being operated on by surgeons. They're being operated on by technicians who are just literally there to take as much hair out from the back. And then they're, just putting it in any direction,
shuffle it around. They're not artists.
Right. No. And then, so, you know, you ask, what are some of the things that we see? We see hairlines that one side is higher than the other. We see hairlines where the hair is at the wrong, obviously at the wrong direction. So it's just growing out at the wrong angle, where the density is not right, poor growth. So a lot of these things, and it's with hair restoration surgery, it's 10 times more difficult to correct than actually do it properly from the get-go. So it is a real heart sink, and I do feel for a lot of people, because they're promised the world when they go over, and they go thinking, you know, this is going to be great. They're picked up from the airport, their hotel is all taken care of, they're limoed to the clinic, and then it becomes a, they're never seen by a doctor, or they're seen for literally 30 seconds when they arrive. And, they're not.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
One of the patients I spoke to said, you know, barely used any local anesthetics. I could feel everything during the whole
process. Anyone ever died from it?
Look, from a hair transplant? I think there's been a couple of people. And again...
Where was that?
Yeah, so it's been, again, overseas. But I think certainly the one that happened a couple of years ago, or was it last year? One of those things where, you know, it was, I want to say predictable, but it was just very unfortunate. It was a gentleman that was very unwell, and they just tried to harvest too much. They tried to harvest from the head, the beard, and the chest all in one go.
Oh, my God. And that must be so stressful for the body.
It's so stressful. And that person with, a lot of pre-existing conditions, that was too much to handle. And then, I think over time, that was there. So I think I want to say hair transplant surgery is very, very safe. All right, and generally, but
it is safe. I mean, I was there reading a book, and you guys are just going meh, meh, putting it in the front.
That's right. Just yeah, you were relaxing. Really good. You had a.
I thought I'm a bit bored. I had a nap.
Yes.
Was chatting to a couple of people.
That's right.
It was fine because then you don't knock people out when you do
no,
it.
No, no.
It's just a you just numb the area.
Yeah. So we just, if you could give you a little injection in the arm, that's a little sedative. It just helps you relax over the first couple of hours, and then everything else is done under local anesthetic. And the local anesthetic, like going to the dentist, it's that initial injection that stings. But then after that, you don't feel any pain at all. And then we can, again, harvest from the back and then make the recipient sites and then plant it in the front.
So what's this new robot that's going on? You got a machine that I didn't get that done, but apparently there's a machine that goes on the back of your head and pulls the hair out strand by strand.
That's right. So it's I told you about that FUE machine, the pen, that sort of the Apple cord thing.
Yeah.
It's effectively that, which is just controlled by, it's robotic in the sense that it assesses the angle itself, but it's controlled by a human. So we have one in Sydney Clinic, and it's essentially the same thing. You're lying face down on a chair, and there's a grid thing placed on the head, and then the machine will be able to look at the hair, and then assess the angle, the exit angle of that hair, and then punch that graft out.
Wow, what's a machine like that worth?
Oh, it's about $750,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is it true that the company that owns it,
yes,
they actually have to get paid for every hair that comes out?
Yeah, it's a...
So it's a very expensive way of doing
it. It's an interesting...
Do you prefer to use that or you prefer to do it your way, the hands-on?
Look, I prefer the hands-on method for a number of reasons. I like the control that it gives me. I can choose where I want to get the grafts from, and then when you come to the outer areas, you can sort of blend it into the existing hair, so I can do that. So I like the punch technology is a little bit different than what the robot currently has. Mm. So I like the new hybrid punch technology, and we're getting a bit technical there at that point. But the RTAS machine is great. But yeah, to your point, it's an expensive machine because you pay the company. So if we have the machine, we pay the company every time we turn on the machine, and every time it takes a punch out, a couple of dollars goes to the company. Mm. So it's
cheaper for you to do it, more hands on to have a human than actually using the robot.
It is slightly less expensive, yes, to do it. Then do it by a robot.
The machines are taking over. They're charging more than us now.
Yeah. But look, I mean, the result, whether you do, and I say this to all my patients, the result, whether you do strip, whether you do FUE by hand, or whether you do FUE by robot, the outcome, say here or here, is essentially the same. It's only how you get the hair from the back of the head.
So you obviously studied for years to become an actual doctor.
Yes.
But what made you decide to take the leap from being a doctor into being a hair nerd like you are now?
It was like most good things in my life, it happened by accident. It wasn't...
So you've got kids.
Exactly.
Daddy doesn't mean it.
So, it wasn't anywhere on my... life plan or life horizon or anything like that. And so a colleague of mine said to me, "Oh, listen, have you ever thought about hair transplants?" I said, "I didn't even know what that is." So I was doing a lot of cosmetic stuff at the time, and he's saying, "Look, I think your sort of personality, it sort of fits with your personality." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "There's this guy called Russell Knudsen. He comes in and he might train you if you're keen." I said, "Okay, I'll look into it." And I never did. And I met up with this guy a few months later, and he said, "Hey, did you ever reach out to this guy?" I said, "No, I didn't." And I kind of felt bad after that because someone was giving me career advice, and I never really took it. So I then thought, okay, let me try this. And so I reached out to Russell, and he said, "Come in and watch." And then, the rest is history.
And you watched it, and you thought, "Wow, I could do this."
No, I actually watched it, and I thought, I don't know. This was because it's when you're watching it.
Yeah.
When you're watching it, it's completely different to doing it. I mean, when I'm doing it, I get lost in it right now. Yeah. I love what I do.
Yeah.
And I sort of when I'm doing, I kind of just sort of block everything out. Oh, the girls that are around the side, they when they're working on their mic, they'll be chit chatting, and I don't sort of listen to anything. But when I was watching it, I was like, oh my God, this is very slow moving surgery. You know, it's there's a lot, and just watching it was like, I don't know if this is this is me.
Because how long are you standing there over someone's head, you know, putting in one single hair at a time?
Yeah, you're there for quite a few hours, all right? So most of our surgeries start 7:30 or 8 in the morning, and most of them will go to sort of 4, 5, 6, you know. Sometimes.
What's the longest one you've done?
Yeah, we finished at 9:45.
One night, wow.
Yeah.
How many hairs did you stick in there?
Yeah, well, that was just it was just a very slow case. There was it was just very difficult to harvest and very difficult to plant. And we were there.
Why was it difficult?
Different people have different skin. All right, and so different, you know.
Yeah, because you said to me, "Oh, you've got good skin to move it around."
Yeah, yours was great. Yeah,
as well. So if someone's got really tight skin, it's harder.
Very tight skin, tough skin. It's harder to cut, and if some people, the scalp's got a great blood supply, and that's one of the things that make hair transplant work so well, because the blood supply will feed those grafts and they will grow. But sometimes people just bleed a lot. Or sometimes the grafts don't sit well, and they slowly start to, you know, pop it. So you've got to make sure, you've got to be meticulous. This is not something you can finish, you know, start at 8 o'clock in the morning and you'll be done by 11. No, it sometimes is a long day. I mean, the 9:45, that's only happened once, and you know, my staff have made me promise that will never happen again. So.
Well, my buddy, Dr. Charlie Teo, he operates on heads as well, but he actually goes a little bit further than you because he's a neurosurgeon.
Right, okay.
And, like, he's had to operate for 48 hours at one stage, and he said people feeding him drinks like he's an athlete, and he's, you know, stripping down to his underpants because he's just exhausted and just needs to cool down and plays music while he's operating. Do you play music? How do you entertain people? Because people are awake when they're getting this done.
Yeah, so there's a variety of different things. So we can have music in the background. Some people, you know, will choose what kind of music they want. They can read books. They can play on their phone. They can watch movies. You know, it's at the end of the day, it's very relaxed. Unlike your friend, I mean, you've experienced it's very relaxed in theater. So we can stop you for lunch and we'll feed you for lunch if you need to go to the bathroom. We can, you know, down tools and off you go and then come back in. And the same is true with me. You know, I say that, you know, sometimes I'm there for 7, 8, 9 hours. I'm not, you know, I have the opportunity to take a break and, you know, refresh and then come back while various parts are being done. So it's generally a very relaxed sort of environment in theater. I mean, I should ask you what you felt, because you were the one who sat through the whole thing.
Yeah, it was great. I had about five lovely young ladies to chat to.
That's right.
While I was getting it done, and I was chatting to you when I wasn't talking to them, and
you dozed off for a bit,
and no one was talking for a while. And I thought, well, I'll have a little nap.
Yes,
and I did, and this is what it looked like. It's a ridiculous time lapse. I think it's deserving of this. Thank you. Yeah, is that the first time you've done a time lapse of someone?
Yeah, no one has ever done that. Yeah, you were the first one who said, oh, look, I want to set this up and do a time lapse. I thought, oh, I have no idea what that means. Okay.
No, that was cool. It was a really relaxed atmosphere. Everyone's really friendly. And it's something that's really easy to get done. And if you're thinking about it, you should definitely book an appointment to go and see Dr. Knudsen or Dr. Vikram and have a chat and see if it's for you. Because, you know, people should be able to just go and do it just like they go and do anything else to make themselves feel good about the way they look and the way that they have their own little public profile.
That's right. Yeah, no, and look, it's the idea is that make sure you go see someone who knows what they're doing. I think because there are a lot, I mean, hair loss in essence is a multi-billion dollar industry. So there's a lot of people out there trying to, you know, sell you a bill of goods on a variety of different things. So you want someone who's there for the entire journey, who's able to educate you on what your options are and do that. So, and that there's lots of people out there that are doing it. So, yeah, make sure you
find Shane Warne. I haven't seen him on the Ashley Martin ads anymore.
Well, he wears a hairpiece again.
That's a hairpiece. It's not. Yeah. You know what?
Oh, they call them units.
I did notice that. I've worked with him a couple of times and I have a little look. He does those ads and went, that's a hairpiece.
Yeah, so I believe he does, and he markets it for the company that supplies him with the hair pieces.
What does he feed it? That's horrible.
No,
shouldn't say that.
No, no.
I remember because my dad has that, and I remember the first time my brother Lucas found out. He was about 7 or 8,
right?
And he was in a food court at a shopping mall, and he's sitting on dad's lap, and he looked up and he goes, "Oh my God, my dad wears a hair hat," and it just echoed across the entire mall. And another time, sorry, Dad, I hope you don't mind. I'm sure he won't care. Another time I remember we were going scuba diving.
Right.
And it just sort of started to go like that in the breeze, like a clam. But I looked at doing that years ago. I thought, well, Dad does it. You know, I'm going to look at doing it. But then I thought, no, let's go the whole hog. Let's do it properly. And it was nowhere near as scary as I thought it'd be. It wasn't a very intrusive operation. And I think that it's something that people should be able to talk about and just say, hey, look what I did. I got some hair at the back, put it in the front. Easy.
And I mean, to your case specifically, I mean, we're only, what, a couple of weeks after surgery?
Not even that. A week and a half.
A week and a half, yeah. So this is very early stage. I'm not expecting to see anything for 2 or 3 months.
Hmm.
And then all of a sudden it starts thickening up. And so, it's a gradual regrowth of hair, which for some people is really good. Because some, especially guys, we talked about the difference between men and women about, how they perceive cosmetic surgery. And some guys don't want everyone to know that they've had that done. Mm. So the gradual regrowth where it doesn't, just a slow moving growth of hair actually suits a lot of people because, people you work with or interact with on a day-to-day basis may not pick it up. But over time, they go, oh, yeah, you look good. You look, younger.
Occasionally, I have someone come up to me or message me that probably every couple of months someone messages me and said, hey, what have you done with your hair? It looks great. And I'll tell them because I don't really like to keep secrets. And if it helps people,
sure,
great. And hopefully this is helping you at home. So how do people contact you? What's the best way to check out your site, check out all of your work? You've got your Instagram.
Oh, yeah. So we've got Instagram Hair Surgeon. We're at the Knudsen Clinic. And like I said, we've got clinics in... I'm based in Melbourne. We've got clinics in Sydney, Canberra, and here in Brisbane. And then once a month, I will fly to Auckland to operate there. And Dr. Knudsen flies once a month to Auckland. So we're there once every fortnight. So you can catch us on the Knudsen Clinic website, knudsenclinic.com.au or knudsen.com.au. And do you mind if I plug one more thing?
You can plug anything you like.
So we've actually, because one of the things, I was chatting with Russell about this before, one of the things that we see commonly is people come to see us and, they think they know a lot of stuff about hair loss and what the options are, but you find that, they're getting the information from wrong places. And there's no real one portal on the internet there. You can go and go, right, okay, this is what I need. And this is the information I need to make an informed decision.
Yeah, where's the best place to go to make an informed decision?
Well, we thought we'd try that. So we've started our own, not this fancy, but we've started.
No, that wasn't a good little intro for what you've started.
No.
Oh, no, that's not
the applause.
Yay, what have you started?
So we're trying our hand at podcasting.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so we started something called The Hair Loss Show.
Yeah.
We're just in a few episodes in, and basically it is nothing to do, it's separate from the clinic, it's nothing to do with that. It is just the two of us talking about hair loss, what causes it, what are the options, and all the intricacies about, what is going on there. So hopefully you can watch the episodes, you can find out which one is applicable to you. It's for men, it's for women, for everyone. And then hopefully you can get enough information from there and then be able to, be educated and then be able to make an informed decision. So that's on iTunes, on Spotify. We'll be...
What's it called?
The Hair Loss Show, and it's got its website.
You get guests on there to talk about
No, just you two? Just the two of us.
Huh? I was thinking I might get a guest spot, but that's cool.
No, you can come in.
That's fine. It's just you two. Hogging the limelight, that's fine.
No. I mean, the interesting thing where it came up was that Russell and I meet on a monthly basis, and some of the stuff that we talk about, I constantly go, I wish other people got a chance to listen in on that conversation because that's Russell and I sort of going back and forth and going, what do you think about this? Or why should we try that? Because we're always trying to make, what we're doing, trying to better it.
So you're trying to outdo each other is what you're saying. Look how good my hair is. Look at my artwork.
Yeah, also the opposite. Why haven't I got, why is this happening? So, it's just a conversation between two hair nerds, right? And because we're really excited about hair, and just try and listen in on that, and hopefully get tidbits of information. So that's my only plug.
People who are watching this probably thinking as well, you know, what's it cost? I mean, is this thing going to cost me 50 grand? Like, yeah. what are the prices on it? So give people a rough idea.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question. What I mean by that...
Because everyone's different.
Everyone's different. Mm. And it really depends on what area you've got to cover, okay, and what sort of density you're looking for, and the technique that you want to choose, all right? So again, it comes down to making sure that you are able to speak to your surgeon or someone who's going to do the open to get a good idea about what you need. And then if you go onto our website, you know, nudsandclinic.com.au, we do have our price list on there.
Get a rough idea there.
And you can have a rough idea. But it's based on basically, it's charged at per graft or per 100 graft. And so there's the whole price there. So for me to say, oh, it's somewhere between, you know, 5 and 15 grand, it doesn't help anyone because it varies from person to person. Mm-hmm. If you've only got a small area, of course it's going to be a lot less. If you've got a full, you know, your scalp that's bald and you need to reconstruct the whole thing, it's going to cost a lot more. So
it's like building a house.
Yeah, like anything.
You want a bigger house? It's going to cost you a little bit more money.
That's right.
Dr. Vikram, thank you so much.
Hey, Mike, pleasure. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Russell Knudsen and the Knudsen Clinic, thenudsenclinic.com.au.
That's right.
If you want to find out any more, and make sure you check out their podcast.
Thanks very much.
Wait a minute. And thank you to BSG. If you want to get yourself some podcast gear, maybe you guys need some podcast gear.
Yeah, I know.
You need to talk to all the team over there. Josh and the gang can hook you up with all the best road gear to get podcasting. And they can also help you out with repairs. And they sell speakers and microphones and the best DJ gear. And if you're thinking of starting a music career as well, BSG, Brisbane Sound Group, Josh and the team.
Cool.
Contact them. Thank you very much. Thanks again.
Thanks very much for having me.
And while I've got you, little reminder, I just wanted to say thank you to the people who have given us 5 stars on this podcast. Whenever anyone gives us a rating on iTunes, it sends little tingles up my spine. It makes me so incredibly happy. Just a little 5 stars and saying you enjoyed the show, you listened to the show, you got something from it, means the world to me. Us. So thank you for all of your reviews on iTunes. So please give it a go if you haven't yet. And thank you for watching, listening. And don't forget, if you want to check out any of our other episodes, you can go to onthemic.com. Cheers.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.